I want to just give you a perspective, or maybe just tell you a story for before I begin to preach today, because I think it kind of ties into what we're talking about today. So it makes me laugh. The elder that prayed in the first prayer time, in the first service, I said, hey, pray that we can get the computer technology fixed in here. And when he prayed, he said, God, we thank you for Pastor Steve. He knows everything there is to know about computers. And I just laughed so hard, right? Because if Drew weren't here, we'd be lost. He really helped us out this morning. Knowing about computers, when my wife first started using computers, she would say, so how do I do this task? How do I get online? Because we weren't always online then. And I would say, well, you just go in here and click the start button and go up where it says, I can't remember what we had, Netscape, that was it, Netscape. Who said that, Greg? Ah, great, the nerds are here, we love you. I'm one of them. And so, you know, you click the start button, go up to where it says Netscape and click that, and then the little dial thing comes up, you click connect, and then you wait. And so I look at her, she's like writing these steps down. Like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And so she has like an index card with 5 steps how to get on the internet. And she did that forever. And I felt like she wasn't learning anything. You understand? And so I said, honey, put the pencil away. Watch this and just get a feel for how the environment works, the computer environment works. And then it'll come more naturally to. It took like 27 years for me to get that into her mindset because she's very much followed it as one by one by one by one. The Christian life is not following things one by one by one by one. It's understanding the environment that God is himself and the environment you're in. And then by the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, understanding how to act and how to do things. And it just occurred to me while we were singing that song, it's a great illustration. And if I'd thought of that illustration earlier, I probably would have just told it to you more clearly. We'd be done in 5 minutes and we go home. But you're in for the full 30 minutes today, okay? I'd like to ask you if you would open your Bible. See the QR code that's on the screen there. If you scan that with your phone, it'll actually take you to the Bible passage and to the verses we're going to be looking. Open them up to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to be at verse 12 and kind of review and add a little bit more to what we got last time. I have a question for you, and I'd like to see a show of hands. How many of you have driven in another country? Put your hand up. Canada doesn't count. Okay, good. Wow, quite a few of you. That's pretty cool. Yeah. I've driven in probably half a dozen, no. I've ridden in cars in probably half a dozen different countries from Japan to Turkey to Russia to Chile and one in the Mideast. And that one in the Mideast, I drove in it and it was crazy. It was crazy. I can remember we had gone out of town to get away, and I was with my daughter and her husband and family. But I'm driving one car, they're in the other car. And the car I'm driving is that little car in the corner. I'm going to talk to you about it a little bit there. But we just had driven 800 kilometers, and now we're coming into the city on Thursday night because Friday is the day of worship in that country. And it's just wall-to-wall people. And there was a big race happening in the city, where they closed half the main roads. And so you're just on roads no one has ever been on before. And it was an amazing experience. And I'm driving that little tiny car in the corner there. And to give you an idea how big it is, you know what a Harley Davidson is? You know that they have 1200cc, 1300cc engines on them. That's what that has. 3 cylinders, and it uses them all, you know? Plus, there's pedals on the floor. You can help it by pedaling along if you'd like to. Yeah, it's made in India, that car is, and I picked it because it was the cheapest. It was new and it was the cheapest, and when I took it back, I had beaten that thing to death over 1,600 miles in the desert. But yeah, I'm on that thing, and I want you to think about it. It's got a Harley-Davidson-sized engine, 82 horsepower, and did we lose everything or just the one behind me? Lost that one, and I'm going to need that. Thank you, it's back now. Good. Okay. So anyway, it's 82 horsepower, which is what a Harley-Davidson is. But it weighs 4 to 5 times as much as a Harley-Davidson. I think probably your Cub Cadet going across your lawn would have felt a little more powerful. So here I am in this gutless wonder going through this traffic, and I start talking to myself, right? I just look at my wife and I say, hey, just pray and tell me if you think I'm going to hit something, right? And so she knows, okay, well, this is intense. And so I'm driving along there and I start talking to myself. I say, okay, Steve, here's how to do this. Look at the best drivers here. That would be the truck drivers. Because the truck drivers do this every day. They're professional. They know what they're doing. Do whatever the truck drivers do. And then I realized that's a bad idea. That's a bad idea, because if you're in a truck and you want to get in the other lane, you just start to move over. I mean, you shouldn't do that, but you can do that. And everyone else is going to acquiesce to your desire, right? But if you're in that little lawnmower, right, that's not going to work. I can't do what the truck driver does when I'm in this little Indian car, or I'm going to get squished. Okay, Steve, I'm still talking to myself. Steve, don't do as he does. How about that? How about these guys on these little motorcycles? Take a look at that motorcycle. See, it's got a thing on the back of it, and that's food. I think it says hunger station, right? And so they have those. They zip around. They're like Uber Eats, but they're motorcycles, and they're in that traffic on the screen there, and they're lane splitting. They're going between the vehicles, and they're going just like crazy. I actually had to say one time early on, I said to my son-in-law who was driving at that time, I said, hey, you know what I need you to do? I need you to not follow that guy, because he's going to die and I don't want to watch it. You know, because it was just so intense. But I thought, those guys do this all the time, and I'm not in a truck. I'm in a car. I'll do what they do. But even though that's a little car, I think I'd have gotten a little skinned up if I did what they do. The lane splitting wasn't going to work for me. So, you know, I'm still kind of talking to myself. And something else that's in this country are Lamborghinis. And there's a lot of them. And McLarens and every kind of car you can imagine, because a lot of the people in that country are very wealthy. And they're kind of fun to watch in that traffic, because what they do is they just wait till there's an opening, and they drop it down a gear, and boom, they're gone. It's just amazing, like a bullet out of a gun. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to look for an opening, and I'm going to put the pedal on this little moped right down on the floor. Well, you know, to coin a phrase from the 70s on C.W. McCall, you mash down on the gas fee, and it's kind of like stepping on a plum. There's just nothing there, you know? And so that wasn't going to work. I'd probably be a dead man if I tried that. And I couldn't do exactly what the other drivers were doing. It would be foolish to do what the other drivers were doing, but maybe, and this thought occurred to me, maybe if I have the mindset that they have, not the techniques, but the mindset that they have, maybe that would be valuable. I think of the truckers. I mean, they're driving through traffic like that, and they look like they're on their way to a Sunday school picnic. They don't have a care in the world. I mean, they got one leg hanging out the window, and they're 8 tracks playing. Well, it's not that bad. But I've never in the traffic, and I've watched things like this, I've never seen the truck drivers panicking. They have a calm. And so I'm going to talk to myself. Hey, Steve, I got another idea. You need to calm down. Don't tell me to calm down, Steve. I wasn't answering myself. They take you away if you're answering yourself. You need to calm down. You need to get your mind out of this hole of fear. And you need to realize you've been in traffic before. You lived in Pittsburgh. You know what it is to be on the Fort Pitt Bridge and have 6.2 seconds to move over 4 lanes in bumper-to-bumper traffic. You can do this. What you need, though, is not the truck driver's technique. You need the truck driver's calm. Cool your wheels, buddy. I mean, pay attention, but cool your wheels. And adopt the trucker mindset. Oh, and Steve, those little food delivery bikes, they have a mindset that says, pay attention. That's their mindset in two words, pay attention. Pay attention to what's in front of you. Look in your mirror, what's behind you. Look what's over, not one lane, but 2 lanes. Look what's there. 2 lanes that way. Keep your head on a swivel and have a mindset that says, I've got to watch what's going on because no one else is watching what's doing. Have that mindset. And then I thought, how about the Lamborghini? Can I have his mindset? What is his mindset? Because I cannot out-accelerate the vehicles around me. It's just, that would be hopeless to try to do that. However, the Lamborghini guy, because he has all that horsepower, he has a sense of confidence that I couldn't imagine. But I know this, that if you're in heavy traffic that's moving quickly and moving aggressively, and you don't behave with confidence, you will become a problem. You can't just be going along and say, oh, is this where I turn? Wait. And you can't do what you could do. You could do this on Susquehanna Avenue and pull it off. You just put on the brakes and you can take out your Google Maps and figure out which way to go. You can't do that in heavy traffic. It's moving quickly. That traffic, you can't tell, but that traffic's moving very quickly on that picture. So, Steve, you need to not take techniques from the Lamborghini guy, but have his mindset that you are not going to take turns with uncertainty. Even if it's the wrong direction, you're going to do it so you don't get hit. And you're not going to just slow down and try to figure things out. You're going to go with the flow even if you miss your exit, because if you don't have that mindset, you won't just be in an accident, you'll cause a lot of accident. You got to have that mindset. The techniques are useless to you, but the mindset is really powerful and helpful for you. The Apostle Paul is talking in our passage today, and he talks about following his example. And I'd like to just read that, because I think that we can find some counsel in it on how to navigate the highway of life. So follow along if you would. I'm in Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to start at verse 12. He's been talking about his journey of growth as a Christ follower. And he says in verse 12, "Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things, and if at some point you think differently, God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends." Okay. I want to talk about this text because I think it gives us maybe three directives for traveling the highway that we think of as a Christian life. And I guess maybe the first directive would be just look at the highway. Just look at it. This is the route. Sometimes people talk about Christianity, but they don't really look about like a journey that they're on or like some kind of pathway or some kind of way that they're to move forward. But you got to take a look at it because it's there. And what do they say? A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. If you're going to do what the Bible is talking about here, you're going to have to look at the highway, and you're going to have to take the highway. Verse 14, "I press on toward the goal to win the prize for that which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Get started. Get on the on-ramp. You can't just sit on the shoulder, because sitting on the shoulder, that will take you nowhere. So you have to decide in your heart and in your mind, when you recognize what Christ has done, that he died for your sins, when you recognize that he offers you forgiveness of your sin and a transformed life and a highway worth traveling, then you're going to have to choose to follow that. And it is a process. He says in verse 12, "Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." I'm not going to settle to be a nominal Christian. You know what a nominal Christian would be? That's someone who's a Christian in name only. Why would I want to be that? I don't want to be a nominal Christian. I've told you this many times, different groups, small groups and stuff I mentioned this too. When I started dating when I was in senior high, I knew that I wanted a Christian girl. I mean, because I saw dating as a precursor to something called marriage. And so I knew, you know, every person, I'm not going to date a girl if she would not be someone I would want to move forward with in a relationship that would end in marriage. So, and along that path, as I was going down the journey, I realized I want a Christian girl. But it was when I was at Toccoa Falls College, a Christian college, where there are hundreds of Christian girls, that I came to realize there is really a difference between a Christian girl and a godly woman. And likewise, there's a difference between a Christian guy and a godly guy. Which are you? How would you classify yourself? Take the on-ramp. travel that highway with Christ to become who he has in mind for you to come. And that's going to require that you leave the past behind, that you say goodbye to the past. Brothers and sisters, verse 13 says, I don't consider myself to yet have taken care of it, but one thing I do, I love this phrase, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. We know from the context what Paul's talking about there, because we just looked at some of these verses last week. We know that what he's talking about there is the self-righteousness that he felt he could attain by keeping the law. He's leaving that sin behind. He's leaving that perspective behind. And I think it's appropriate for us to even broaden that to any sin that needs to be left behind, because all sin needs to be left behind. You leave behind your sin. You don't continue in them. You leave behind your failures. You don't beat yourself up for them. You leave them with God. You confess your sin to God. If I confess my sins to him, the scripture says, he is faithful and just to forgive me for my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So I want to do that, and I'm going to turn my back on it. And I know I'm going to turn my back on that maybe 1,000 times before I get it right, but I'm not going to stop that. I'm going to leave that behind. And even my failures, like stuff I wish I hadn't done. I can't believe I said that to that person. I can't believe that I forgot to do that. I can't believe I was so distracted that I missed this. I can't believe I chose to sin like I did. What kind of Christian am I? I'm the kind of Christian who needs to deal with that before God and find forgiveness at the cross of Christ and then move forward. Leave your failures, your sin, your self-righteousness, anything that would hold you back from moving forward on the highway, leave it behind. Now, I'm going to talk about an emotional thing to leave behind for some people. By way of illustration, I'm going to tell you about my buddy John, who went through a divorce. This is decades ago. John went through a divorce, and he just couldn't quit talking about it. And who can blame him? That's a big trauma, isn't it? I haven't been through a divorce, but I understand that's a big trauma. When he was at church, he talked about his failure as a husband. Couldn't quit dwelling on it. When we were out hunting together, John would talk about he and his wife and how, man, if I spent time with her instead of, and he just grieved that. And he was hanging on to it. I can remember if we'd be praying together, John would say, hey, you guys, pray for my wife and pray for me because we really have been going through this trauma. That's a really important thing that he's doing. It's a very healthy thing he's doing. It's not a bad thing at all to do. We need to work through those things. And as a church, as his pastor, I work to help him through that as well. But John was regurgitating this over and over for going on 2 years now, every time you see him. One day it occurred to me, I haven't heard John talk about that anymore. I wonder what that is. And I said to him, hey, buddy, I feel like maybe you're dealing with your divorce a little bit better. What's going on? Now listen to what he said. He said, hey, my buddy Jay, who wasn't a Christian, my buddy Jay told me he was tired of hearing about it. And he told me, you need to get over that, John. And so I left it behind. Now, I just have to say there, that was doggone rude, right? And I think Jay's motivation was probably a selfish one. I'm just tired of hearing you whine, you know, probably. But John grabbed a hold of that and decided to do that, to leave the past behind. Here's a question that maybe we need to think about. If John was able to do it just because his friend said, I'm tired of hearing it, why wasn't he able to do it when Jesus said, I've taken care of that? And so we all have things in our past, right? And they prevent us from moving forward down the highway. They could even prevent you from getting on the highway. And Jesus says, I've taken care of that. Leave that behind. Leave that behind. If you want to be on the highway, you're going to have to leave things behind. You can't just sit on the shoulder. You're going to have to move forward through traffic. I wish I could remember who this person was. It wasn't one of you, because before I knew any of you, I was pretty young at the time. But I was riding with someone. We're going down an interstate, like Interstate 80, and the speed limit then was probably, I don't know, it might have been 55 then, I'm not sure, 65, whatever it was. And as we're driving along, my friend said, I don't pass cars on Interstate 80, Steve. And I said, well, there's a whole lane over there. Yeah, I don't do that. I don't like to go out on that lane. Okay, well, you're going to take a significant journey. And we moved from 65 mile an hour down to, we got behind a vehicle that was going 60, and Then, wouldn't you know, that vehicle passed another vehicle that was going 55. And pretty soon we're down to 40 miles an hour on Interstate 80 because we're following an oversized truck that has all kinds of lights and flags on it, you know. And we're behind it, right behind it, going 40 miles an hour. And I don't feel safe. Because while that truck is all marked up and everybody knows it's there, nobody knows where they are because these little dim lights flash and the four-way flashers flashing. And I realize, wow, you really have to be moving forward through traffic because it's dangerous not to do otherwise. It's dangerous not to do otherwise. Driving slowly is a hazard. That's why, and I just checked with a state trooper about it, it's 40 miles an hour. You got to have those flashers on, right? I actually, 40 miles an hour is as slow as you can go, and I think 45, you need to turn on your flashers because it's dangerous to be moving slow. It's kind of that way in the Christian life. If you're real lazy and you know you won't take any faith-filled risks and you're not willing to commit to something different, moving along slowly, you're not progressing through the traffic of your Christian life. How are you doing with that? I mean, you might want to read some scripture and say, God, speak to me through your word. How am I moving through Christian life? Where are you on the highway? Is there a next step? Did Jesus say, wow, I finally got that thing done. I quit yelling at the cat, you know, so I'm a better man for that. And now I need to move forward. What's next? You got to be looking at how you're progressing through your Christian life. And what's holding me back from this? What temptation or sin is it that wants to stifle my process? Have the mindset of verse 14. Again, it says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Look at the highway and move forward through the traffic. And look at the mindset of the better drivers. We talked about to adopt their techniques. Remember, those truckers are not the same people as the guy in the three-cylinder Indian car, right? So you can't do what he does. And the people driving that tractor pulling a hay wagon, they're not using the same methods as the guy in a Corvette. So you're not going to do exactly what that person is doing, what more mature Christians are doing, but you're going to try to follow their godly thinking. You're going to look beyond their actions and adopt their godly mindset. It's really important to keep this in mind when you read verse 17. Look at it, would you? It says, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. Just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. And I might read that and I might think, okay, I need to do the very same thing that the godly people that I'm looking at are doing if I'm going to grow in my faith and move down this highway. But remember, what year's your Corvette? The 78 Corvette is probably the sexiest of all the vets ever made. Fact, yeah, it is. That's a great looking car, just beautiful car, right? And if I'm looking and I'm saying, I need to do the exact same thing that he does in that Corvette, and I'm in a 67 Jeep, which I wouldn't mind being in, by the way, it's not going to work for me. So you think, okay, well, how do I adopt their mindset? What does that include? It includes things like their values and their perspectives. So I'm looking, I'm saying, what do those people who are further down the highway than me tend to really dedicate themselves to? What are the values that they hold in their life? And what are their perspectives? How do they see activities in this? How do they see time used as that? How do they see scrolling, doom scrolling? How do they observe those things? And I want to adopt that mindset. I want to look at things like their compassion and their kindness. Do you know why Vern Robinson was who he was for this church? It wasn't because someone says, do this, 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 and this. It was because he had a compassion for the people here. He wanted you to be warm or he wanted you to be cold. And he said, Steve, I'll take care of that. You know why else he took care of the heat? Wow, I'm going to tell this story right now. Because people were coming to me saying, it's too hot. And someone else come, it's too cold. And Vern said, just send them to me. Wow, why did he do that? It was his compassion and kindness toward me. He knew I have other things to do on a Sunday morning. What a great thing. Look beyond the acts and adopt the mindset. The mindset includes imitating Christ in real life. What would Jesus do? That's an old phrase, right? Imitate Christ and his heart and his love and his mercy and his compassion. You know, not all examples are good ones. There's a sentence at the end of verse 19 that helps us understand what makes the difference. Look at verse 19 again. He says, their destiny is destruction. Their goal, God, is their stomach. Their glory is their shame. And then here it is. Here's the sentence. Their mind is set on earthly things. Their mindset is the problem. And if they get a different mindset from God, if he transforms their thinking, if he renews their mind, Romans 12:2, then their mindset isn't the problem anymore. It's the solution. So follow a good example, not by simply doing the exact things, but by having the same heart, having the same spirit, having the same outlook and perspective as those who are further down the highway. And that'll give you a heart for the highway. It'll give you a real heart, a passion for driving. This mindset comes as you spend significant time with godly people. I believe in small groups like crazy. You know, we have a small group on Sunday night. If everyone was here, a dozen people would be here. I have a small group on Tuesday morning at 5:30 in the morning. There were 16 guys there last week. What are you guys doing up at 5:30? You're out of your minds. I'll tell you what I said. Why are you here this morning? One of those guys said, I am here to learn. Wow. I love that. There's a Wednesday night women's group that meets, and they're coming to the end of their time. And Laurel said, some of them want to keep meeting. And, you know, she's like, Laurel just wants to do the job. Not the job, the ministry. Yeah. There's a Thursday morning group that gets together. Guys just get together and talk about their life, and they pray for each other. There's a Thursday night group that gets together. 16 there on Thursday night. I showed up late, and they were already underway. It was so cool to see. There's a Saturday morning group that gets together. They're reading Proverbs right now. The Thursday night group is reading Genesis. They were in chapter 15 last week, and one of the guys said, this is like one of my favorite chapters. I'm so excited, and I love that. I love that. Yeah, spend significant time with godly people because some of the drivers are reckless on this highway. Look at verse 18. For as I have often told you before, and now I'll tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. Their mindset is on earthly things. When Paul says their glory is their stomach, he doesn't mean they're Epicureans. If you see that, then you're dealing with the details, not dealing with the mindset. He is saying their mindset is wrong because the most important thing in their life is themselves. And they feed themselves. He's not worried about their diet. He's concerned that they need to begin to value things of eternal nature. And he's saying they really need to reevaluate things that they once regarded as appealing because, you know, everything that is appealing, not everything that is appealing is rewarding or even satisfying. I'm sure I've mentioned Merle to you a few times through the years. I might even have told you this story once or twice. Merle, when I met him, he was the guy that bought brownies that he had baked to every party. And he was famous for those brownies. I tasted one. I wasn't really impressed. I didn't tell him that, though, right? I did say to him later, I said, so where'd you get the recipe for your brownies, Merle? He thought I wanted to make them, I think. I was just curious. Is there dog food in there? Where'd you get the recipes for these, Merle? And he said, recipe? I get them down at Unimart, and they're frozen. I just throw them in the microwave and heat them up. Ooh, explained everything to me. He thought they were great. He loved them. And one time, Laurel made him some brownies. And Laurel makes stuff from scratch. I don't know where she gets the scratch, but she makes everything out of it. And Merle was so delighted. He was so thrilled that he never bought Unimart brownies again. That's the kind of thing we're talking about. We're talking about spending time with godly people so that you see that maybe where you are on the highway is not where you can be, and you move forward because your perspective is changing and your values are changing. As you travel the highway of life, you don't keep doing the same old things. You find new ways of thinking, and hanging out with others helps you develop that. And you drive with a destination in mind. You have your eyes set on eternity. Think about where you're going, where you're driving to. What's at the end of this highway? Look at verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord and in this way. You know, set your mind on the goal. Focus your mind on the end of the highway. Okay, so Paul isn't telling us to do the things he does. Hey, you guys should be planting churches. You guys should be being missionaries. You guys should get arrested. And finally, you should end up in Rome dead. That's what y'all should do. Just do that. What he's saying is you need to have the same mindset, the same heart as I have. And the heart that is set on eternity isn't distracted by trivialities in life. You do this because of your identity in Christ. And you look at how he's changing you along this highway. And you celebrate it. You celebrate where you are and what you've left behind. I often tell people to do that. Pause a minute in your spiritual life and just look at where you were and where you are and celebrate that. Feel good about that. Tell people how God is changing you. Share that. And years ago, someone advised me, Pastor Steve, you need to quit telling people that. I said, why? He said, don't tell them to look at how they've grown and feel good about that because they might become proud or lazy. I could not agree any less with a statement, I don't think. See, I want you to look at how Christ has changed you because a couple things might happen out of that. One thing that might happen is you'll give praise to God and say, wow, I hadn't even thought of that. But I quit living that way and now I'm living this way. I finally cleaned up my vocabulary so I don't say that word anymore. I think I used to say that a dozen times a day. How cool is God that he helped me do that? I finally can walk away when someone wants to have it out. I'm finally the bigger man in that. And God did that to me. Look back at that and celebrate what God has done. So I feel like if I tell you to look back, either that will happen, it will inspire you to do even more, or you might look back and say, hey, I'm sitting on the on-ramp. I've just been sitting here and I'm not doing anything. And maybe, just maybe, looking back, it will inspire you to get into the race and move forward. If you travel down the highway of your Christian life, you're going to encounter an undeniable reality that you belong to a different world. It's just going to happen to you as you go. Do you ever feel it now? Do you ever feel like, because you're a Christian, you just don't fit in? Like maybe you have some friends that just love having gossip sessions and gripe sessions, and they gripe about other people. Let me just tell you, when you're not there, you're the other people, right? But maybe that was your style. You kind of like that. And as you've moved down the highway of Christian maturity, you've come to realize that is going nowhere. And now when that comes up with this particular group of friends, you're like, I just want to walk away. It's like you're from a different planet. Your citizenship is in heaven. Or maybe you're friends with some guys who you used to go places that you really know nothing good happened when we went those places. And now, as you've moved down the road in maturity, Christ has changed you. And you just don't want to do that. You don't fit in. You know why? You belong to a different world. Or maybe you start talking about something God has taught you in your life, like how to be a better husband. You're telling somebody about, you know what, I was just reading the other day and I found out I was doing this stupid thing. It's no wonder my wife wants to club me, you know, and I stopped doing that. You wouldn't believe how it's changed things. And they look at you like you're cross-eyed and green, you know, and you realize, wow, Christ has changed me. My friends don't get it. I'm a stranger in a foreign land. You are. You belong to a different world. And that's good. God is teaching you that your citizenship is in heaven. You're eagerly awaiting a Savior from there. And as you travel this road, he continues to change you and to transform you. We read in verse 21 where it's talking about the resurrection body, how he can transform our bodies by the power that he has to bring everything under his control. He changes your body. But you have to know it's not just your body he changes. He changes your person. I've experienced it myself as I go down this highway. There was a day as a young man that when I heard a preacher with a gray or white beard, I got the white one. As I was a young man, if I heard him say, oh, how I long to be with Jesus, I would think, that's an escapist thing he's doing there. I'd want to go be with Jesus if I looked like him. And he's got the arthritis, you know, and I don't know what else he has. Yeah, old people. They just want to escape and get out of here. Let me tell you, that is not it at all. I love being here. I love it. And I love doing what I'm doing. But inside of you, as you travel this highway, he transforms you so you so desire to be with him. You can't explain it. And it's a beautiful transformation. And if you're on the on-ramp, you'll never see that. And if you're bumping along, afraid to pass anything in front of you, you might not see it at any time soon. You'll never feel that maybe till the day you die. But as you travel, as you move forward on the highway, and he transforms you, then you'll read words like Revelation 21 in verse 4. And you'll say, oh, how I long for that. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious, those who finish the highway, those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. I just want to tell you, as you're growing in your faith, he is transforming you to hunger for that like nothing else. And as you move down this, he changes you because he's good, and he wants that change to happen. And he knows that you need changed. You need this mindset. And he is the sanctifier. He is the one who does this. And he does it because he loves you. So take a look at how he's changed you in the past. I mean, where were you 15 years ago on a Sunday morning? Where were you 30, 40 years ago on a Sunday morning? Where did you want to be? You're here now. Is that a change? What was your outlook toward the Word of God just a decade ago? And how has that changed? What was your desire for service and your commitment to worship God with the drums or whatever it is you worship him with? And how has God changed and transformed you in that way? Look at how he has changed you, and look at how he's planning to change you. So one time, when our children lived in Dearborn, Michigan, it was a 5.5-hour drive from here. And as soon as you enter Ohio, you got on the Ohio Turnpike, which was a toll road. And so we're going out there. By the way, the state flag of Ohio, has anyone seen it? It's a yellow sign that says construction. You know what? There's just so many of those. You hear that? I'm going to stop and pray. Then I'll tell you the story, okay? Unite your heart with me in prayer. God, we don't know what those sirens are for. We're not bothered that they distract us, but they do draw our hearts to concern. And so we pray for whoever's involved, if there was an accident or a fire or something like that, I pray that you will show grace and spare lives and that people would be kept safe and made well. I am thankful for the emergency personnel who are on their way right now. Keep them safe, enable them to do what they're trained to do. And through all this, may you be glorified through Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to Philippians 3. Let me wind this up. One more illustration. My children lived in Dearborn, Michigan, and we were halfway across the state of Ohio, which means in a 5.5-hour drive, we were, 2.5 hours out, more than that, right? And my wife said to me, hey, you know what? We forgot to bring, and neither of us can remember what it was. We remember the story. We don't remember what we forgot to bring. And I'm like, that's one of the main reasons we're coming. We're going to see our kids. We were going to bring this to them, and we forgot it. And so we're on the turnpike, you know, and so there's an exit to get off the turnpike. And I exit and I pull over on the ramp and I'm just sitting there. And it was a ramp that kind of went around like and down and up above and down below. It was going all over the place. I pulled over though. It was a safe place to pull over. I was well off the road. And I said, okay, we need to think about it. Are we going to go back 2.5 hours, get what we need, and then do the 5.5-hour drive, go the whole way back to Ohio? Is that what we're going to do? Or are we just going to say, we'll have to get that to them later? I don't know what we're going to do. And I looked in the mirror of my car, and here comes the Ohio State Patrolman, and he pulls up behind me. And he walks out, and he says, what are you doing here? Are you okay? And I said, yeah. I said, this is just stupid, man. We're on our way to our daughter's house in Dearborn, Michigan. We forgot something. And we're trying to decide if we want to go back 2.5 hours to central Pennsylvania and get it and then drive, because that's going to be like 10-hour drive in a car. We're trying to figure out what to do. He said, okay, you can't do that here. I said, well, welcome to Ohio. See if I ever come back, right? No, I didn't say that. I said, well, it'll only take us like 2 or 3 minutes. You can't do that here. You need to move on. Same with you. You can't just sit along the side of the road. You need to be moving forward. And I want to pray that you be doing that. Let's stand together. We'll pray. So think about where you are in your Christian life, right? Think about what's ahead of you. Look at your mindset and say, God, am I allowing, not allowing, am I intentionally moving away from focusing on the things of this world to focusing on you and your things? Do I have an earthly perspective, or do I have an eternal perspective? And just listen to what His Holy Spirit says to you. And then get on the highway and get going. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word and how it speaks to us. I thank you for bringing it to life by your Holy Spirit. Not that it wasn't alive before, but it feels alive to us when your Holy Spirit works in it. Thank you for how it teaches us. We have been given so much as human beings and given so much more through the death and sacrifice of Jesus for our sins. I pray for everyone here. If there's anyone here that's never really turned their heart, God, to you, and said, Jesus, I believe that you died for me. I trust you. I want to follow you. Then right now, I pray that they would steer the car onto the on-ramp and they would tell you that. That they would receive the goodness that you have for them and find a forgiveness of sin in your death and find a purpose and direction in life through your Spirit. Make that happen for them today on May 17, 2026. And as they do that and as we do that, as we move forward down this highway, God, may we not just be going through the motions, doing what we've always seen people do, but rather, may your Holy Spirit give us the renewed mind of Romans 12:1-2. May we be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And may we travel this road with purpose, with conviction, with grace, with awareness, with determination. By the power of your Spirit in Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.